touchdown. Unbelievable.
Here we go. We got left and back 10. I want to win.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to AFL Radio. I am your host, BJ Picard. Joining me today is AF Nation's James Kust. James, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Glad to be here. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing tremendous. Happy to be back doing the podcast. It's been a while. So let's dive right into it.
All right.
With the AFL's free agent period now upon us, we're going to see a lot of movement here in the coming days. And we'd like to use this special edition of AFL Radio to kind of, you know, live out the dream and be GMs for the day. Discuss which players are going to be high on the wish list of teams this offseason. But before we get into picking our players, I think it's interesting to note the poll that's up on arenafootball.com right now, which asks fans which free agency period is most important to their team this offseason, exclusive or unrestricted. And fans have overwhelmingly voted for the unrestricted period. And I think that makes sense, because if you're a team that didn't win the Arena Bowl, as 16 teams didn't last season, you probably got a little bit of work to do this offseason. Now, James, as somebody who's covered the Utah Blaze, Milwaukee Mustangs, and Chicago Rush over the last few seasons, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, AFL free agency is interesting because we always seem to get just a ton of player movement. This two-week window, the exclusive period, is really important for a few teams that really need to focus on bringing back their nucleus from last year. Teams like the Arizona Rattlers, Utah Blaze, Philadelphia Soul. With the new CBA and the fact that teams can sign players to multi-year contracts, now we'll see what that does to the rush on free agents.
Hey, you mentioned those three teams, obviously all playoff teams. But why do you think those teams in particular, why do you think that's the exclusive period is going to be so big for them?
Well, they're teams that have to maintain what they have going on right now. So obviously, like you alluded to, the Rattlers have a good thing going, two straight national conference championships. I hear they won an important game in New Orleans last year, something like that. Bringing that core group of guys back is going to be key for them to do that again. And the team they beat in Arena Bowl 25, the Philadelphia Soul, also needs to focus on bringing back as many players as they can from last year's squad. That situation gets a little more intriguing because, as you know, BJ, Doug Plank is now coaching the Orlando Predators. So I wonder how many guys he's going to be able to recruit down to Florida with him. The third team I think the exclusive period is especially important for is the Utah Blaze. Net 10 head coach of the year, Ron James, has done a masterful job building the Blaze up over the last few years, and they've come so close. They're on the verge of the Arena Bowl last year. If they're able to bring back their top threats, Blaze could be dangerous in 2013.
That they could. I mean, Ron James has really done a great job there. You look at where the Blaze have been over the last few seasons and where they got to last year. A combination of the players and the coaching staff. You look, they got, you know, Rob Kiefer on the defense, looks to be like the right guy. Matthew Socran on the offense. Tommy Grady has flourished working with Matthew Sock, who's two times now, the last two seasons, the assistant coach of the year. And last year, the Blaze had this unbelievable season, due in large part to the right arm of National Guard MVP of the year, Tommy Grady. 5,870 passing yards, 142 touchdowns, greatest statistical season in the history of Arena Football. Is he the top quarterback this offseason, if you're looking at a free agent? Or do you go with Nick Davila? You know, two straight Arena Bowl appearances, last year's championship game MVP, the first quarterback in pro football history, not just Arena Football history, pro football history, to pass for at least 100 touchdowns in three consecutive seasons. Who do you go with?
I mean, this is like asking if you want to win the lottery or win the lottery. You know, you'd love either one. Either of these guys are going to give you MVP-like production every year. Even though Davila has the playoff experience, he has the Arena Bowl win. Honestly, I think I'd go with Grady here. You know, you can't deny those 142 touchdowns he put up last year compared to Davila's 113. Not a small number by any means, but 142, those are just points on the board that help your team win the game. So I'd have to go with Grady there.
That's interesting that you go with Grady. I mean, you look at what the San Antonio Talons did last year. You know, they went out and they got the guy that won Arena Bowl 24, Aaron Garcia. But so you go stats. Another guy bringing home the ring.
You know, Eli Manning has two Super Bowl rings. That's all I'll say about that. But
no love for Eli either.
No,
all right.
No, that's all right. Looking at some of the other options at quarterback available, though, I do think America's quarterback, J.J. Reiterink, has developed into a nice player.
Nicest guy in pro football.
Yeah, we'll see what he can do this year. Dan Radabaugh, you'd think, would stay with Coach Dolezal in Philadelphia, but you never know. Maybe the biggest question mark for me at the quarterback position is Chris Leak. Is he a one-and-done guy? Does he come back to Orlando? There's no doubt about his ability as a football player. You can't win a national championship without talent. He definitely had his struggles last year, but I'd be interested to see what he could do with another year under center in the arena.
Yeah, Chris Leak is definitely an interesting question mark. We've already seen two quarterbacks be assigned earlier this week in the first week of free agency. One, I think, is no surprise. I don't think it caught anybody off guard that Kurt Rocco is going to be back in New Orleans with Pat O'Hara. It just makes a lot of sense. He really flourished there last year, made a huge leap from his first year in arena to his second. That's a move that makes a lot of sense. The one that's a little more interesting for people, I think, is Urich Meyer returning to the Spokane Shock, even if it is just on a one-year assignment. Of course, Meyer entered the season last year as the team's starting quarterback. The Shock think very highly of him, but he suffered that severe concussion in the first game of the season against Iowa that put him on the shelf for the rest of the year. That assignment might get a few people talking.
Yeah, and Urich Meyer is someone who's covered the West for the last couple of years. I really think he's someone with a lot of potential at the quarterbacking position. He just hasn't gotten to really show it off yet. He's been bouncing around. He's been plagued by injuries. I'd like to give him another chance. I think it'd be interesting to see what he can pull off this year, given a healthy full season.
Definitely. He's got the talent. And also won the Walter Payton Award, which is the FCS equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. Oh, yeah. So, he's a big-time player. But quarterback, always an interesting position. Many people think it's the most important position on the field. It's tough to argue with it. But let's move on to fullback. I think we can all agree that Derrick Ross is probably the top dog. In all honesty, might be the best the AFL's ever seen at that position. And he's got something like 71 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years. It's unbelievable. But you look past Ross, besides Ross, who do you like at the fullback position?
Oh, an awesome back with an awesome name. I like the way Tank Cook plays. He's a really versatile guy. He was banged up a little last year, so he didn't put up the same kind of stats with the Talons that he did in 2011 with the Sabercats. Odie Armstrong is another guy who can run the ball and pass protect. As we know, Arizona has a bunch of weapons at receiver over the past few seasons. But don't overlook Armstrong. Having him there has really taken a lot of pressure off of Davila. If you're into more of the bowling ball type backs, Tyree Young and Michael Benson are big guys who can really move as well.
And they're tough to take down. Those guys are huge.
Yeah.
Moving on to receiver, a little more of a prolific position at the AFL level. This is a spot where you really can't go wrong, can you? There are just so many talented guys in the AFL, but there are a handful of guys who are already under contract, having been assigned already this week. Just to recap, down in San Antonio, Robert Quiroga was a day one assignment for the Talons, as was Hank Edwards with San Jose. And the Sabercats also returned Fred Williams, who was a very dynamic player down the stretch as a rookie last season. Tampa Bay has brought back Chandler Williams and Michael Lindsay. And then the Sharks also have their 2012 All-Ironman selection, Terrence Smith, back under contract. And he can play any position on the field. He played receiver for most of the year, but when Mischa Robinson went down with an injury late in the year, they had to move him back to defensive back, where he actually played the year before on their Arena Bowl championship squad. Looking at the guys who are still on the market, you've got Maurice Purify leading the league in yards per game, Dominic Goodman led in receptions per game, Josh Bush, Jesse Smith led in receiving touchdowns. Where do you start with these receivers?
It's a tough call. I think Maurice Purify is probably the head of the pack for me. There are times out there when he really just looks like a man among boys. Look at what he did to a very good Philadelphia secondary in the Arena Bowl.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So 7 touchdowns? Against that secondary, too.
Once in a lifetime. Jesse Schmidt and Tiger Jones became the first two receivers in AFL history with back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. Aaron Lesway had a breakout year with Utah, and he's one of the most exciting guys in the league to watch, honestly, in my opinion. He's got a knack for finding the end zone, as did his teammate, Tyson Poots. A guy like Larry Shipp as well could be a big-time difference maker. In Chicago last year, Jared Perry had a fabulous season, earning the Net 10 Rookie of the Year honors. Reggie Gray is another guy who's scored an awful lot over the last two seasons, plus he can return kicks.
No, absolutely. That versatility is key. But you look at a team like Philadelphia last year, it's almost formulaic what they did. They had the home run threat in Tiger Jones. They had bigger possession receivers with Donovan Morgan, Larry Brackens, those big 6'4", 6'5", type guys that are really big bodies. And then they had, the little guy, an athlete that's more of a water bug, Jeff Hewley. Plus, they've you know, still got talented kind of other receivers. Emory Sammons, you know, you don't normally think of a guy like Emory Sammons with his ability as just another receiver, but I mean, that's almost what he was in Philadelphia last year. You throw in the running threat, Derek Ross playing fullback, it's no wonder that they set all these league records for scoring. I mean, that's some serious firepower.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, it's hard for every team to assemble that kind of star power. The formula makes a lot of sense if you think about it. As far as those big-bodied receivers go you were talking about, there are a handful of options out there. Huey Whittaker has been in the league a long time, had a great season last year as a receiver and a Jack linebacker in San Jose. Jerron Harvey down in Jacksonville is another big guy with strong hands. As far as the athletic types go, P.J. Barry is about as good as they come. He can play anywhere on the field. He just hasn't seemed to have a lot of luck with the wins over the last 3 years. I guess if you're turning that many kicks, it makes sense, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad because P.J. Barry is an unbelievable talent. I mean, he's fun to watch. And, you know, actually, he was just dancing with the stars. I don't know if you caught that, but he was doing a charity event in Pittsburgh, showing off his dance moves. We saw it a lot when he was in the end zone. You know, he's always got something interesting for the end zone celebrations. But, I mean, we could talk about receivers all day. Earlier in the season, we asked Arena Football fans, you know, who would you build your team around? Whether it's a quarterback, a running back, wide receiver, or offensive line. Not surprisingly, most of them said quarterback. But coming in second was actually offensive line, which is interesting, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you don't have an offensive line to protect your quarterback can't get the ball to receivers can't score. The offensive line in the AFL is a little bit different. It's a three-man line. You've got your center, you've got one guy who's basically a traditional lineman, and then another who's kind of a pseudo-tight end. Now, we've seen a few teams grab linemen already in free agency, but who do you like here?
Yeah, I think you have to start in the middle. That's really where it all starts to come together. Last year's Spalding Offensive Lineman of the Year was Arizona center Kyle Young. He did a great job protecting the quarterback out there last year, especially in that West Division where just across the board we see solid defensive lines from team to team to team. Antonio Narcisse out in Utah is another guy from the West who I'd be happy with at center, as well as Billy Eisenhart in Chicago. He had a nice year too.
You know, probably the top traditional lineman, the best pure lineman the last couple seasons in the AFL has been Rich Ranglin. He was with San Jose last year, but midway through the season, he got picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs, who he's still with. So without him being involved in the free agency this year, who stands out for you without him being involved?
Well, Michael Huey had a great rookie season with Arizona last year. You know, he played his college ball at Texas, actually, so you know he's got some talent there.
Yeah, hook him.
I do like Christian Johnson, who played in Philadelphia last year. Down in Tampa, you rarely see George Bussey give up a sack, and Manny Akah in San Jose is another guy with top-flight talent. As far as your tight end types go, Tom Kalita has done some really nice things in Tampa. He's played line end and even a little fullback, so he's been around the positions there. You also get that kind of versatility for Mark Lewis with the Sabercats. You saw the Shock bring back Chris Pino and Andrew Nearman this past week. Both of those guys have really shown versatility over the last few seasons as well, I would say.
They ask a lot of their offensive linemen in the Arena Football League, so it's certainly a position that cannot go overlooked. But flipping over to defense, maybe there's something here, maybe there's not, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the old adage in football is defense wins championships, right? Arena Football, seemingly all about offense, and yet, look at the Arizona Rattlers. Look what they did last week. Reigning and defending Arena Bowl champions brought back three players last week in free agency. All three on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, in a league that's so dominated by high-powered offenses, having a solid defense really makes you stand out, I think, as a team in this league. And so, I mean, you know, at its core, the Arena Football League is a pass-first league. It's an offensive league. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see more teams this season start to look more at their defense, mimicking Arizona there with, you know, signing those defensive guys back. There is kind of that misnomer in the AFL because of the high scores. There's no defense being played, and that really couldn't be farther from the truth. It's just kind of a different mindset that your defense has here in the AFL.
You know they're going to score. It's all about possessions. It's all about who has the ball last. It's all about getting that one stop because you know you're going to give up those points. Now, we saw some dominant defensive line play last year. You mentioned how good the teams out west were on the defensive line last season. You know, the Blaze out in Utah set a single-game sack record. They had that great line with, you know, Mike Lewis, Keenan Mace, Caesar Rayford, go Huskies. And you had Joe Sykes out in San Jose set the single-season AFL sack record, 16 last year for the Sabercats. That was a lot of S's in one sentence. But the point is there are some serious playmakers out there.
Oh, definitely. And all those guys you just mentioned are great options in free agency. Sykes, obviously, as you know, is Defensive Player of the Year, and it makes sense for him to be at the very top of that list. You know, everybody last year thought the defensive offsides rule change was going to kill sacks. But obviously, that couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, I predicted that, of course. Just kidding.
Sure.
I do think Sykes got a lot of help from his nose tackle, Tim McGill, who's really just a beast in the middle. Antoine Hawthorne, former Wisconsin Badger, is a force to be reckoned with as well.
We saw the Shock bring back a very promising young player in James Ruffin already. Which guys would you target as pass rushers?
You know, if it wasn't for Joe Sykes, we'd all be talking about Scooter Barry. Jacksonville fans wondered who was going to replace Derek Summers, who, you know, we had that outstanding 2011 season, and Scooter Barry stepped right in and had an even better rookie year. I came away with 13 sacks. Brian Robinson is another guy I'd target, 5 forced fumbles last season. Even more impressive, he set the AFL single-season record for blocked kicks. He's a disruptive guy on the field. I saw a lot of Dwayne LaFall in Milwaukee last year. He's a quality lineman. Another guy I really like is Quinn Pitcock down in Orlando. I think he was a third-round draft choice coming out of Ohio State, I believe. That talent is still there, definitely. Xavier Brown had a good rookie year in Chicago and New Orleans last year as well.
Speaking of Chicago and New Orleans, they both have pretty good Jack linebackers, Kelvin Morris, Alvin Ray Jackson. Now, that Jack position is almost like a fourth defensive back, while the Mac linebacker is kind of like a blitzing defensive lineman for those who aren't familiar with the AFL defensive positions. What players do you like at those two positions?
Well, you know, as far as Jack goes, I think you're right. Morris and Jackson are two of the best, no argument there. Morris had 5 interceptions returned for touchdowns last season, tying a league record. Jackson hauled in 14 picks, which is the most ever for a Jack backer. Marcus Everett's another guy who should get some attention. He had 9 picks last year and returned 3 for scores. Plus, he can play receiver. So as far as Mac backers go, Cliff Dukes is still top of the line to me. Aaron Robbins had 8.5 sacks in Jacksonville last year. Francis Maka had a big year last season in San Jose, and he's already been rewarded with a new contract, as was Tyree Glasper in Arizona.
Aaron Robbins is an interesting guy. He played for the Spokane Shock in 2010. They won the Arena Bowl. Played for Jacksonville in 2011, and they won the Arena Bowl. Last year must have been weird for him, being in Jacksonville, not winning the Arena Bowl. And you mentioned Marcus Everett. You saw a lot of him in Milwaukee last year. What do you think about him as an AFL player? I mean, he plays everywhere. He never leaves the field.
Yeah, definitely the very definition of an Iron Man. And he is sometimes a sole factor in a Mustangs game that changed the very pace in the course of that game. You know, they could be down by 2 scores. All of a sudden, he runs 2 back for touchdowns, and it's entirely new ball game. He's definitely a game changer out there.
Now we're on to what I think is one of the most fascinating sets of positions in the AFL, and that's the defensive secondary. Now, there are 3 positions there. You got front side corner, backside corner, and then the middle position. And, you know, from talking to AFL defensive backs, they all pretty much say that the middle is the toughest position because you're matching up with the offense's high motion man. And not only that, he's typically their best receiver. So you've got the best receiver getting a running head start at you. And then you've got your corners who, you know, it's a pass first league, but you still need to be physical enough to play the run, but yet athletic enough to get back and get into coverage and obviously help out that middleman. So we've already seen this week maybe the best frontside corner in the game, Terrence Sanders, go back to the Shock. And then you've also got one of the AFL's top young middlemen, Arkeith Brown, who was the defensive player of the game in Arena Bowl 25, return to the Rattlers. But even with those 2 signings, there are still so many good defensive backs on the market to choose from. I mean, that all-arena selection last year was tough. For coaches to make. So who do you like as defensive backs this year?
Oh, you're right that there are really just a ton to choose from. It's tough to pick against Kent Richardson. He was the Rev Honey defensive back of the year last year with 14 interceptions. But, I mean, get this, he wasn't even a starter coming into the season. That's how good Philly's DBs were last year. Rayshon Kaiser is probably the best in the game as far as playing the middle. He led the league in passes defended with 41 last year. I think he's an interesting case. He played for Doug Plank in Philadelphia last year, but spent the 2010 and 2011 seasons in Orlando. So Plank's the coach in Orlando now. Do you think Kaiser follows him back down?
That is an interesting question, one that you alluded to earlier. I mean, it's a theory. You look at the Philadelphia team from last season. You had Coach Clint Dozell, who's the offensive coordinator. A lot of the offensive guys came to Philadelphia from Dallas, where Dozell was the head coach the year before. You'd expect a lot of those guys to stay with Dozell, Then you look at the defensive side of the ball. And Kaiser's an interesting case because he was in Orlando. That's where he played most of his career. But you look at the defensive side of the ball, Doug Plank is a defensive coach. I mean, the 46 defense is named for Doug Plank, who wore number 46, and Buddy Ryan liked the way that he played, how aggressive he was as a safety. But he's a defensive-minded coach. How many of those guys is he going to attract down to Orlando? That's a question that we're going to see hopefully answered here in the next couple weeks when unrestricted free agency starts. But another interesting prospect at the defensive back position is Tracy Belton. And you look at him, you look at his season last year, you kind of play the what-if game. Because he only played 11 games with the Forest last year. He got hurt, he had that groin injury. But he still had 11 interceptions. He was averaging an interception a game. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely going to garner a lot of attention this offseason. Numbers like that, you know, don't keep you off the radar. You've also got guys like Pittsburgh, it's Chris LaFleurie, and New Orleans' Jeremy Kellum, both of whom had 9 interceptions last season. So guys that can pick off the ball there.
Yeah, I mean, you got even more. I mean, Simeon Castile, former All-SEC player. So many guys to choose from. It'll be interesting to see where they all go. But, you know, we've talked about offense, talked about defense. Let's give the people what they want. Let's finish this edition of AFL Radio off with what everybody's been waiting for, special teams. Because kickers are people too, James.
Yeah, you know, I guess. Anyway, special teams. Kenny Spencer converted on 138 extra points in Spokane last year.
That's a lot of extra points.
Yeah, can't argue with that. I also really like Nick Pertwee out in San Jose. If you're looking for guys who can kick a lot of field goals, Carlos Martinez and Marco Capizzoli are your guys.
You ever seen a field goal like Capizzoli hit last year in the playoffs? 51-yarder to win the game in arena football with those narrow goalposts?
Yeah, that was something special. That doesn't happen every day.
Does not. Pretty cool. What about the kick returners?
Kick returners, I mean, we've talked about a few already. Obviously, the ones that stand out most are guys like, you know, P.J. Barry, Jeff Hewley. You also got Reggie Gray, Josh Bush, you know, even C.J. Johnson and Jackie Chambers. There are a handful of really solid options out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a good kick returner, that makes all the difference. Just like the NFL. I mean, even in arena football where the field is shorter, it's still a daunting task to have to go the full length of the field every time. If you can get up, you know, to midfield, that's huge for an offense. But there you have it. I think we covered it all, right?
I think so.
Now, I don't know about you, James, but I am ready for the season to begin right now. That could be because watching the Minnesota Vikings continue to win football games makes me physically ill.
And defies the laws of physics.
I hate it. But, you know, I like to think it's actually arena football withdrawal that's causing me such pain. James, as fun as it has been to talk about, it's going to be even more fun watching all these transactions actually hit the wire over the coming weeks. It's certainly going to be a busy offseason, no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
And remember, fans, you can stay up to date with the Arena Football League offseason moves on the AFL's official transactions page located on arenafootball.com. That's all for us here at the AFL Radio Studios. Thanks for joining us today, AF Nation. For James Tiberius Kust, I'm BJ Picard. This has been AFL Radio.
Let's go! Oh, what a touchdown! Unbelievable!